Good evening, this is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. I'm currently on location in Singapore attending the Regional Sharia Symposium 2022. There's a lot that needs to be unpacked from this event. Because of that, I have the pleasure to have joining me today the Malaysia CEO of CGS CIMB as well as the Group Head of Sharia Investment Services, Madam Ruzi Rani Ajith. Maybe Ruzi, you can tell us a little bit more about the events that is happening today and perhaps the impact that you want to create following this event.
Okay, this event is actually to bring the best and the brightest minds in Sharia investing and Islamic finance together. We believe that, you know, Sharia investment is something that is not very well exposed in Singapore. So it is a segment that we want to develop, and we will want to start with financial literacy and awareness about Islamic or Sharia investing.
Why you know, Regional Sharia Investment Symposium, why that note?
Okay, Malaysia is you know, it's a center of excellence for us for where Islamic Sharia financing is concerned, because it has got a very established ecosystem, framework, and I would say expertise. But in Singapore and Indonesia, it is at an infant stage. It's a market that is untapped, and we believe that Islamic financing, which coincides with ESG principles, will be very well adopted here and also in Indonesia. So these are the countries that we are looking at to expand our Sharia investment products.
We keep on asking ourselves this, right? Because Sharia compliance is also, you know, a lot of people are saying that it's not just for Muslims. Where do you stand on this?
Okay, Sharia products, we see Sharia compliant investment is a way of life, and it is for everyone, and it can be adopted by everyone. So it also complies with social and moral issues. So that's the reason why we think Sharia investment product is suitable for anyone who is looking at focusing more on social and moral obligations.
Do you feel that there is this statement is accurate, where Sharia returns are lower than conventional returns, or do you think that there's a misalignment of understanding on this?
I would say there is misconception. Probably at the beginning, when they introduced Sharia instruments, Sharia, what you call, investment products, and also ESG products, it could be very expensive. But as you know, we get more sophisticated. We can see from, you know, various reports that Sharia and ESG products actually has outperformed the conventional investment in terms of returns. And you can see how the sukuk market, or the green sukuk, has actually grew exponentially over the last 5 years or a decade, more than 200%. So a lot of money is flowing into this space.
You know, capital markets and Sharia products are synonymous, I suppose. But that capital market is more pronounced, I suppose. Do you feel that there is a time and place for us to grow the equities side of the Sharia capital markets?
Surely. Of course, the debt market has preceded, but I think the equity market is more accessible by the masses. And, you know, we giving accessibility, making it simple, and giving financial literacy to the masses will encourage them to look at Sharia equity products.
And then in the near term, do you feel that the situation is going to improve quite significantly, or do you think that because of other stuff like inflation and recession looming and interest rates rising, that might provide some risk and opportunity at the same time for retail investors to think about investing in Sharia products?
So what is very important here is the risk management aspect of any equity products, regardless Sharia or conventional, where we want to educate the public about risk management and to take into consideration, you know, different cycle of the economy, and that's always an opportunity. So regardless whether it's Sharia or non-Sharia, what is important is accessibility, platform with very low brokerage and high returns, with what investors will be looking for, and we would like to provide those kind of products to the market.
Okay, final question, Puan. Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia. Different markets, different understanding of doing things. Retail investors would have different understanding of financial products as well, financial literacy. But you're launching in these three countries. Is the strategy the same for all three, or you're going to have some slight differences in terms of reaching out to the market?
You got it right there. Each market has got different local interests, local content. So it will be customized. For Malaysia, it has taken off very well, being institutional or retail market, because the Islamic finance has become a mainstream kind of product. But for Indonesia, we think that millennial and the youth segment is huge, rising. Middle income affluency would be another factor. So we would be aiming for the masses there. And for Singapore, our strategy would be tapping into the wealth of the family offices. A lot of money has been coming to Singapore. And I think that is a good opportunity for us to look into that space.
Welcome to Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Right now, I'm in Singapore attending the Regional Sharia Investing Symposium 2022, organized by CGS CIMB. The most important focus right now is to get a feel of how the market's reacting towards a continued and sustained investment into the Sharia world. So because of that, we want to explore some of the key features about how this is going to move ahead, considering that there's a lot of market movements that we know, geopolitical tensions rising around the world, and many more. Because of this, I have the pleasure to have Carol Fong, the Group CEO of CGS CIMB, joining us in this conversation. Carol, thanks again for taking the time to speak with us. Could you tell us more about the iCash trading account in Singapore and the iTrade Sharia in Indonesia? What would be one of the reasons why you did this? And perhaps walk through us into how this helps the retail investors out there.
Yeah, thank you very much for the questions. In Singapore, we decided to launch iCash account here in Singapore because of the fact that we think it's an underserved segment. If you look around in the marketplace, there's no other broker that offers investment services to clients who are interested in Sharia investing. With the iCash account, one can actually get into trading with Sharia principles. And that's the primary reason why we did it in Singapore. If you look at Indonesia, for example, where we're launching the iTrade Sharia account, it's a similar concept as well. It's an underserved segment. We're not the first in Indonesia, but I think we will be among the first few that offer investment services to clients who is interested in Sharia investing.
So with the existing clients, now they have an option to go Sharia, but with new to bank customers or clients who are thinking about this, maybe you can help explain. Why do you feel investors should open a Sharia trading account, so to speak, with CGS CIMB?
I think one of the key reasons is the very fact that some clients are prohibited based on certain principles that they have, that they can't invest because trading in certain investments may actually contravene or the principles of or Sharia investing. So that's one very key reason, right? That the fact that when you go in, you can easily we filter out the stocks you can buy, in Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, as well as the wider markets in the US. Because when you come into these accounts, you really basically have all the stocks filtered for you. Yeah. You don't have to think what to buy. They're all Sharia compliant.
Yeah.
And if you look at the reasons why we're doing so, it's the fact that if you look in the population in ASEAN, 43% of the population in ASEAN is actually Muslims.
Yeah.
So by providing the service to them, it allows them to actually very easily enter the platform where all the stocks and securities are already filtered for them according to Sharia principles.
Yeah, but I think the more salient point here is that Sharia investing is not just for Muslims, it is for everyone. Do you feel that you're addressing not just the 40 plus percent of Muslim population in ASEAN, but actually everyone that is interested in this space.
Absolutely. And I think we all know that Shara investing is also part of what we call ESG investing. And the Shara principles are actually based on ESG principles as well.
Yeah.
So we are actually targeting a wider group, but we feel that by positioning as Shara first, you know, it's because the fact this is really underserved.
Yeah.
There is a real need for it. On the ESG space, you know, I mean, we're also very much into ESG, but you know, and you're going to hear a lot more from us about ESG investing as well. But we thought basically we want to democratize actual investments, you know, actually on the Shara side first, because we see it's a big need for it.
So because of the fact that it is a generally underserved market, I'm pretty sure a lot of your competitors per se are going to enter the space if they haven't already. Do you feel that you guys have the competitive edge to rise among the rest and appeal to the market out there to be the number one choice?
I absolutely believe so. I mean, if you look, for example, where we started off, you know, we started this journey probably about, you know, about 5 to 8 years ago in Malaysia. Mm. And, you know, Ruzi, my CEO in Malaysia, is actually our Islamic champion.
Mm.
So we started out in Malaysia, we created a center of excellence, right? So because Malaysia is, you know, we are top three in Malaysia in terms of market share, and we created a center of excellence.
Mm.
And by creating the center of excellence, we managed to move this very quickly to Singapore and Indonesia.
Mm.
We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We've got a Shara advisor on board already.
Mm.
We've got all the principles set up, and we have put the filters in place, you know, that which already set up in Malaysia, to apply to basically Singapore and Indonesia. I think not many competitors are like us, where we have such a regional footprint, where we have strong dominant market shares. Singapore number one for 3 years, Malaysia top two, Indonesia top four, and Thailand basically in the top eight.
Mm.
So with such a dominant market share, it is our belief that, you know, that by going out with new innovative products like this, including Shara investing and ESG investing, We believe that, you know, that the market is will recognize the efforts we put in, and more importantly for the exchanges, we are bringing new investors in, right? Because I mean, you know, we know that a lot of younger people, for example, younger millennials in particular, they are going after, you know, cryptocurrency trading and so on. But again, I think it's very, very important to go into the basics of investments.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you there.
Yeah,
but I also classify myself as a young person who is also looking into this space. However, I don't know whether it's going to work out in terms of the crypto space, NFT, you name it, right? Because if the fundamentals are not right, you're
absolutely
still going to have that
correct,
problem.
Yeah.
I think since you were speaking about the exchanges, let's talk a little bit more about the collaborative work that you're doing with IDX,
yes.
Bursa, as well as SGX.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So as you know, at today's symposium, we've got representatives from all exchanges here, from Bursa, from basically IDX, as well as Singapore Exchange. And what we're trying to do with them is, it's again to basically, you know, find a collaborative way whereby we can reach out to the bigger community, especially amongst the youth.
Mm.
So apart from this symposium, what we're very big into is financial literacy, right? Because we want to educate the youth of this world. Right, so the youth of today is our leaders tomorrow.
Mm.
So by doing so, then I think their journey towards investments will be solid.
Mm.
They learn about investments in a proper way,
mm.
and I think they'll be a happier journey for them to learn how to manage risk as well.
Mm.
So for example, in Singapore, we're about to launch a national literacy campaign, where about, you know, 10 of our universities are all tied, are coming together with exchange to teach about financial literacy. We're going to launch an investment challenge as well.
Mm.
This same thing will happen in Malaysia, Indonesia, and Thailand.
Okay.
So this national literacy campaigns in each country will then build up to basically an ASEAN national literacy campaign.
One area that I want to explore is, of course, the collaboration that you're going to do in the near term. With whom? Where would be some of the target markets that you want to attack? And most importantly, in a post-pandemic world, you're launching the Shara Investing right now. Why now? And of course, how does this tie up with the future plans that you have moving forward?
Why now? A very simple reason, like I said, it's an underserved market, and you know, even when I look within my own community in Singapore, right, only 13% of the population are Muslims. Mm. But I have colleagues and have friends who basically who are Muslims, and they tell me that, you know, Carol, I have nowhere to invest. I'm putting my money in a bank. And in a bank, you're earning about 0.3%, 0.4%
in Singapore. It's practically nothing.
It's not only practically nothing, it's worse than that, because the inflation at 2%.
Yeah, you're losing money. Yeah.
You're losing money, yeah. So, and that got us thinking, right? I mean, if people like that feel, you know, this is underserved segment, feel they have nowhere to put their money, then I think it's incumbent upon, you know, the brokers like ourselves to come out and serve this community who's saying there's a need for such services. And this is the reason why we are launching iCash in Singapore and iTrade Shara in Indonesia. In Malaysia, of course, the very fact that this segment of the market is growing so quickly, if you look at the stats for the last 5 years, you know, where we were in Malaysia to where we are now to number three in terms of market share, it's come a long way. And that segment is still growing. Mm. So my belief is that this Shara investing, you know, it's part of ESG investing, will only grow. Mm. And you know, the youth of today are completely, you know, aligned to the fact that ESG is part of the space that they want to play in. Mm. But again, I mean, if you want Shara investment, you want ESG, look, we've got
there's
it for
option.
You. Yeah. And that's why we're launching it now, because it's really something that we believe that the community is asking for.
Now, I know you're not a market analyst, but you do work in this space. Maybe I can tap into your mind a bit in terms of how do you feel about the issues that are surrounding us right now, both globally as well as regionally, with the geopolitical uncertainty that's happening in Ukraine, Russia, in China, Taiwan, many other places, with commodity prices rising, with inflation rising, specifically food prices across many others, and of course food security, not least when Malaysia says no chickens to you guys in Singapore as well. But I say that in jest, but generally speaking, yeah, it doesn't look too good, right, in the near term. How would you view this, and what would be some of the message that you want to share with the investors out there?
Okay, I've been in this line for 30 years, so I've seen many cycles in this marketplace, you know, through the 87 crisis, to the 1990 currency crisis. And of course, we had the mini pre-pandemic COVID crisis, in 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And you know what? The markets move in cycles, right? Yes, things look bleak now. I mean, you're right. Inflation looks like it's going to go up further. Mm. Geopolitical tensions are still, you know, still quite tight.
Yeah. Right?
And the and you also have the possibility of a real recession coming up, not only in the U.S. but it can actually global. It could have a global recession, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do in such times, right? Except for people who have been invested in the market before, is to stay invested. Don't lose hope. I mean, you need to know what you're investing in. Number one, of course, and then the good stocks, they come down, you buy more, you average down, okay? But you don't throw what you call the baby out with the bathwater, right? I mean, of course, you know, if for some reasons, you know, like if you have invested in Terra and the Terra and the Luna stable points, you were probably going to throw that out, yeah? But at the end of the day, really, I mean, that if you stay invested for the longer term, it is proven that actually that the returns that you get is much higher than what you put money in the deposit.
Of course.
And that's factual.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely. And the statistics prove it.
Yeah.
So in such bad times, my advice to everyone out there is that
But of course, you guys like to say past performance doesn't indicate future performance, but at the same time, cycles do repeat itself.
It does absolutely itself. Right. But it's the longer term we're looking at. If you're in the markets for 5 to 10 years, history and statistics have shown that you make better returns than putting it, than leaving your money in the bank.
Thank you very much, Carol, for the insightful conversation that you've shared with us. But for now, that was our conversation with Carol Fong, the Group CEO of CGS CIMB. Remember, there's a lot of conversations like this that can be found on astronomy.com. Do look out for that one. Until then, thanks very much for watching. Catch you in the next one.